I would invite your attention this morning to Psalm 118. We'll start with verse 1. Psalm 118. And we continue our series. This will be the fifth message on being thankful. The Bible says in Psalm 118 and verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." As we've been considering over the last several weeks, being thankful, I want to make the case today that we can be thankful on the basis of who God is. We find in this verse, for example, "For He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." We're going to look at being thankful today because of who God is. In other words, and we've looked at this in the past, our ability to give thanks only comes after we are thankful. And being thankful for the Lord is going to be based and rooted on truth. It's not just based and rooted in hopes, dreams, I think so's. It has a basis in truth. There's a comfort in truth. Sometimes even when the truth isn't altogether what we wanted to hear, there's a comfort in having truth, knowing the truth. And the truth of the Word of God is that who God is a sound and solid basis for being thankful. Now, I want to quickly go back and review a little bit. We started out with the idea and the concept that we're created in the image of God. We're created with the ability to reason. We're created with the ability to comprehend. And that's important as we consider being thankful for Him, being thankful for who He is. We can comprehend that. The animal in the field, you know, last week we read about the ox that knows his master's crib. The ox knows when I go here, I'm going to get food. The ox knows when I go here, I'm going to be cared for. The ox knows when I go here, I'm going to find shelter. I'm going to find a master that cares for me. The ox understands that. It doesn't really comprehend it to sit there and reflect deeply about it, but it comprehends enough to know that that's where I get food. You and I are created on a level where we can ponder that, we can comprehend it, we can reflect upon our dependency on God, and that's where we started with in this series. In the 23rd Psalm, you can see that the psalmist is thankful that the Lord is his shepherd. Now that kind of goes with being thankful for the Lord being his shepherd because of being thankful for who he is, his attributes, and how he operates. The psalmist pondered his dependence and was thankful. We looked at the basis of that thankfulness being rooted in the truth that God is working all things together for the good of his people. That promise is made in Romans 8. And for the child of God, we have the promise based on a sovereign God that cannot lie and cannot fail, that I'm working in your life all things for your good and my glory. And so we have a basis for thanksgiving. We find in Ephesians 5 that it's a command of God, and it's that we're to give thanks in everything. But in 5:18, we find the ability to do that comes from being led by the Spirit. We have to be walking in the Spirit. We have to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to see things rightly, to see things properly, and to then obey the command to give thanks in all things. We find in 1 Thessalonians, it's the will of God for us. It's the will of God that we ponder these things, that we assess who God is, that we ponder our relationship with Him, that we assess our dependence upon Him. And it's the will of God that we come to the conclusion where we naturally give thanks. And again, it all has a basis, which is where we were last week in Colossians 3, moving towards the direction of the basis of the thanksgiving and the peaceful, let the peace of God rule in your heart, that peaceful contentment that one can have as he or she serves the Lord, as he or she trusts the Lord, as he or she depends on Him, knowing He does all things right and good. And so they can give thanks. Which brings us back to Psalm 118 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. All that God does in the universe is good. All that God does in the universe is right. All that God does in the universe and in your life and mine is good and right. All that God does in His sovereign providence over creation is proper. He is good, and He does only good. Now, that doesn't mean we like everything. That doesn't mean that everything that He does is fun in our experience. He takes, sometimes, His people through dark valleys. But it's for their good. And He is good as He does it. Just as a parent allows the child some scratches and some bruises. Once in a while, a parent will allow the child for a greater good. He will allow the child to get a little bumped up, to get a little scratch here and there, knowing it's going to be fine. But He's teaching the child, and He knows it's for the child's benefit. God sovereignly knows these things, and all that He does is good because He is good. There's no sin in God. There's no darkness in God. There's no sadistic intentions in God. And the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Here's a basis for giving thanks. He's good. All that He does then is good. He's not a tyrant. He's not an evil tyrant in that sense of sadistically lording over people for His own benefit. God owns everything. All majesty and glory and honor belong to Him. We don't improve His essence. We don't improve His appearance. But by His amazing love, mercy, and grace, He saves His people from their sins. And they that are obeying the Spirit of God strive to serve Him and bring honor to Him, to properly reflect Him and what He is doing in their life. But again, we have this basis. And through this, we'll look at, in the Psalms today, primarily several Psalms that describe a logical basis for being thankful. I'm not thankful for a myth. I'm not thankful for a religious myth. I'm not thankful for something that I can't find tangible. I am thankful for God and that He is good. And He's not a myth. He's real. He's a living Lord. And so I intend to make the case that we can be thankful and have a proper basis, rooted in truth for him. This verse tells us, Psalm 118, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And then he describes why he says that. "For his mercy endureth forever." Now this goes back to something that I've made a case for and a point of several times. Thinking on humanity. Thinking on, reflecting upon, as we ought to, my relationship with God. Reflecting on the one day of standing before him after this life. Reflecting upon my sinfulness. Reflecting upon what a holy God must do with sin. What must an honorable judge do with the convicted guilty? What must a loving parent do with an obviously disobedient child? What must a holy God do with a sinful me? And he's got to judge sin. I praise God for this then in this passage. This mercy. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." That goes to the heart of what I deserve. I deserve judgment. I deserve God's just indignation against my sinfulness. I deserve his guilty verdict and appropriate sentencing. I deserve those things. All of humanity has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is no mistaking that, either theologically or practically. All we have to do is look around. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." We know from Lamentations chapter 3 that his mercies are new every morning. That mercy that he has demonstrated to me today, he's not running out of. It endureth. And that flows out of his goodness. And that even that mercy has a basis of payment, if you will. That mercy has a basis in the finished work of Christ. He has bought and paid for my redemption. He has bought and paid for my atonement. He has bought and paid for my forgiveness. And in that, I can find mercy in the Lord. Because when he looks at my guilt, and he looks at my sentence, and he looks at what I deserve, he also then can look at Christ and see paid in full. I can extend mercy. And that flows out of a good God, providing that payment, providing that mercy. And we'll get to that as we conclude the message, Lord willing. Notice with me, if you would, Psalm 119, just right here, turn over a page to verse 68. Verse 68 says this: "Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." So in Psalm 118, the psalmist said, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And that goodness, he says in Psalm 119, 68, because you are good, you're doing good. Thou art good and doest good. We do what we are. The Lord said, what flows out of our hands and lips is what's starting in our heart. If our heart is right with God, it'll be manifest in the individual. If our heart is wrong with God, it'll be manifest in the individual. God is good, and it's manifest in the fact that what he does is good. All that he does is good. And this is a basis. It's a logical, sound foundation for thankfulness. God is good. And he is good all the time. And he is good even when life is hard. He is good even when things in our life seems to be going haywire and sideways. If it's that which is coming into the Lord by the coming into your life by the sovereign providence of the Lord, it is good ultimately for you in the long run. And again, I qualified this several times. I think it's applicable now that I'm not talking about the dark days of things that come into our lives because of our own sin, because of our own sinful behavior. And I always qualify that with, even in that, God is sovereign. And even in that, he is able to work those things for our ultimate good. But it might leave some scars. It might leave some scars. Joseph's brethren clearly dealt with a lot of baggage in their own hearts and minds with what they had done to their brother. Because the minute they realized he was still alive, their first thought was not, oh, cool. Their first thought was not, awesome, you made it. Their first thought was, oh, no. He has the authority and really the right to disconnect our heads from our bodies. And he said, what? You guys meant was for evil. God meant it for good. But they carried, I believe, emotional scars. They carried baggage around their whole life as to what they had done to their brother. And whenever we sin, even when God overrules in that and works it around to where it's something that God uses for your good, it might leave some scars. But thinking on the basis of being thankful, God is good. I want to turn to Psalm 75. Psalm 75. We're staying primarily in the Psalms through this portion of the message and thinking on the basis, and it's a logical, I think, sure foundation for a basis of being thankful. Psalm 75 in verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks? Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. So the psalmist is observing the wondrous works of God and realizing his power and his authority, represented by his name, is near. They saw God working. They knew that his name was being rightly represented. They saw God working. They saw the authority of God. They saw the moving of God. They saw his wondrous works. And he burst out into song. He burst out into praise. He's giving thanks. He's giving thanks. His wonderful works prove that he is personally governing the universe. He that is good is personally governing the universe. Now think about that. We've been created to think. Think about that. He that is good is personally governing the universe. He hasn't turned it over and just left it roll. He hasn't turned us over to ourselves and just left us on our own. He that is good is personally overseeing his creation in every detail of it. Now that's a basis for thanksgiving. It's not a tyrant running this. It's not fate or luck running this thing called life. It is he that is good and does all things right and good, just and proper. And he's governing the universe as demonstrated by his wondrous works, his magnificent works, his awe-inspiring works. Like this morning when the sun came up. That's our vernacular. We understand by the rotation of the planets and all that goes on that we have lunar days and all those things. The sun came up. I mean, to simplify it, this morning the sun came up. And we were blessed that it was a nice sunrise and looks like a nice day. Would have been good if it had been a rainy day. Doesn't matter. He that is running the universe is good. And that's a reason, a basis that is sound to give thanks. That puts life into perspective. I've got this dilemma in my life. You know, I've got this thing going on in my life. It may be relatively small. It may be relatively big. It's not as big as the universe. And it may be that I can't really discern some of these questions that I have and some of the choices that are set before me. I'm not sure exactly what to do. But he that is governing the universe is good, and he has the answers. Ponder on that and give thanks for the reality that he is good. And all that he does is good. And his wondrous works prove he's on the throne. He's near. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And verse 1. Well, 1 through 6. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Oh, most, sing praises unto the Lord, O Most High. Now that's something we're pondering. He is good. He is personally governing his universe. And he's the Most High. There's none higher. And it's a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to ponder. It's a good thing to consider. Sing praises unto him, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For the Lord hath made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Now notice verse 6. I wanted to read down to this. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. A brutish, rebellious, stubborn man doesn't consider these things. He doesn't try to comprehend these things. He shakes his fist at the heavens and says, I don't believe in God. He shakes his fist in the heavens and says, I don't like God because he's done this and I don't like it. He took this away from me, or he did that, or he did this, and I don't like it, so I don't like him. Brutish man, or rebellious man. Verse 6. Or a fool. God sits in the heavens, and he is good. And all that he does is good. And he personally governs the universe properly. And he is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. He has given to us written instructions. And it is a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to ponder. It's a good thing to not be like the brutish or the fool, but to consider our dependence upon God and give thanks that he is good and that he governs properly. And personally, I'm emphasizing he's governing personally. He's not turned it over to luck. He's not turned it over to horoscopes. He's not turned it over to fate. He's personally governing the universe. And he's good. And all that he does is right. And we're told in this passage that in Psalm 92:1, he's the Most High. It's not as impressive that he's good in and of itself if he doesn't have any power. If he's not the Most High. He can be good all day long, but if Satan is bigger, if Satan is higher, if Satan is stronger, and he's thwarting the purposes of God on a moment-by-moment basis, we don't have any reason to give thanks. In fact, if that's the case, we close the doors and go home. We might as well go play. We might as well go fishing, camping. We might as well, and I'm not fussing at anybody for going fishing or camping, but we might as well close the church doors if Satan's higher than God. There's just no point. But God's good. He's personally governing the universe. And all that he does is right and good and proper and perfect. And in him is no darkness. And he's the Most High. He's the Most High. There's none higher. There's none. Can you say sovereigner? There's none with more power. There's one sovereign sitting upon the throne. And it's God. The God of this Bible. And that begins to come into focus for me, at least, to be a sound basis for thanksgiving. And by the way, a sound basis for the peace that passes understanding. A sound basis for Colossians letting the peace of God rule in your hearts, where you have a peaceful contentment. That place where bitterness and discontentment cannot flourish. It tries to sprout up, but thankfulness plucks it out. It tries to sprout up, but confidence in God plucks it out. It tries here and there to rear its ugly head of bitterness, and the confidence of God being the Most High and doing all things right in the universe and in my life chokes out bitterness, chokes out discontentment. And so this is a basis. I'm thankful I serve the King of Kings, not some lowly governor of some small state or a lowly mayor of some small town. I'm the mayor of Mayberry. There's 25 people. Kind of impressive, but not that big, right? I grew up in Ridgeville Corners. There was, 26 people. We didn't have a mayor. We didn't need one. Wouldn't have been that impressive if we had one. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. I serve the King of Kings. I read in my Bible that he's the Most High. I read in my Bible that he's good. I'm glad the Most High is not a tyrant. I'm glad the Most High is not a sadistic, evil murderer. I'm glad the Most High is good. Now, the Most High will one day judge, and the Most High will one day pour out his wrath upon rebellious, disobedient individuals. That's a fact. But even they now are receiving mercy, which is where we started. He is good because his mercy endureth. We have a basis for being thankful. Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. I want you to notice verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, His separateness, His uniqueness. He's one of a kind. Give thanks at the remembrance. I want to emphasize that first for a minute. The remembrance. You can't remember something unless you can go back and reflect on it. Unless you have the rational ability to go back and reflect on it, ponder on it, consider it. And He's made you and I with that ability. He's made us with the ability to reflect, to ponder, to consider, to reason through our dependence on Him. In the psalm that I read early on in the series, first message, I think, that you remove breath from us, or you don't allow the next breath, and we return to the dust. That's how dependent we are. But I'm okay with that. I'm thankful for that, because the one I depend upon is good. The one I depend upon, His mercy endureth. The one I depend upon is the Most High. Now that's the one to depend upon. That's the one to be serving. And here in Psalm 30 and verse 4, give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Take time to remember. Take time to reflect. We get so preoccupied with the things of this world. We all do it, I do it, but we walk into the house of God talking about the things of the world. We walk into the house of God. How'd work week go? I looked at Ken, and that's no longer for Ken. How'd the retirement week go? We walk into the house of God, and the first thing we talk about is the work week, or the weather, or our latest toy, or our latest hobby. We ought to be remembering Him, the one to whom we can be thankful, and we have a basis for being thankful. He is good. He is holy. He's the Most High. He's holy here in Psalm 30 and verse 4. And that doesn't mean simply righteous. He is righteous. But He's separate. He's unique. There's none like Him. I give thanks for that. He's the one that I serve. He's not one of many. Think about this. Think about a whole bunch of Most Highs. I don't know how that really works, but think about a whole bunch of gods in a polytheistic setting. Which one do you serve? And you serve this one, and you make that one mad because you're serving this one, and this one strikes a lightning bolt at you, if that stuff could even happen. But just logically think through trying to serve a multiplicity of gods. He's the Most Holy. He's the Most High was the other verse. He is holy, this verse. He is unique. He's one of a kind. He's not one of many. And I serve Him, the King of Kings. And I know that this morning when I saw the sun rise, He was still on the throne. He's still ruling and reigning the universe. I know if He's still ruling over the universe, He's still ruling. Period. And I am to follow Him. I am to obey Him. And I am dependent upon Him, and I am thankful to be, because He's good. Because He's good. Psalm 119, now, this time, verse 62. Psalm 119 and verse 62. I want you to notice with me, as the psalmist says, let's see, I get to verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. All that he does is right and good. All of his verdicts are right and good and fair and just. In the courtroom of God, there has never been one inaccurate verdict. There has never been one inaccurate judgment. Not one that was unfair. Not one that was prejudiced one way or the other. But always right and always good. Because, why? He is good. And all that he does is good. And the one that is good and does good has extended mercy and has mercy that endures. And there's a platform for, or there's a basis for being thankful for that because he's the most high. There's none that can overthrow him. And he's holy. There's none like him. And here in verse 62, all of his judgments are righteous. Which begs the point to be made. The Most High does judge. He is a God of love and mercy and grace. But not only those things. He is a God of justice. And one cannot go through life rebelling against him. And remember, rebelling against him is simply continuing in disbelief. I mean, get that. Rebelling against him doesn't mean a murderer, or a bank robber, or an adulterer, or whatever. Rebelling against him, those things are involved. But rebelling against him is just continuing to walk in disbelief of who he is. John 3:18, condemned already for unbelief. What does a holy and just and good God do with one who rebels and continues to walk in unbelief? He must judge. He's the Most High. Nobody's going to overthrow him. He's unique. He's not one of many. You don't have to worry about picking which one. He's the one to defer to. And he has judged. In Romans chapter 3, I struggled with where to take this because there's so many. This obviously is quoting from Psalm 14. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. The good God, the unique, most high God, does judge. Psalm 119:62 said all of his judgments, all of his verdicts, all of his decisions are righteous. They're accurate. So the accurate assessment of God upon humanity is here. Romans 3:10-13. Paul's taking his statements from Psalm 14. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's the assessment of God. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then he goes from 13 on to describe what that looks like in their lives. And he capstones it with verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's not the use of the law anyway, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law is intended for, to show us our sinfulness. But the assessment, the judgment, the verdict of God is that, and the way the psalmist writes it, he looked down from heaven, his most high vantage point, And he looked down from heaven, and he saw the inhabitants of men. Were there any that did good? Were there any that sought after him? The verdict was nope, there's not. His judgment is accurate. His judgment is assessment. We are sinners by birth. In other words, we are born with a sinful nature. But it gets worse than that. We're sinners by choice. As we become old enough to make rational decisions, and I argue even before we can fully rationalize, we already demonstrate our depravity. But certainly as we become old enough to rationalize and demonstrate our own wills and so on, we demonstrate that we are sinners, and he shows us this road here in this passage where it's a destructive, self-destructive mindset of disbelief, rebellion against God. And that's the judgment of the Most High. He is good, but he that's good judges. Now I want you to consider in Ephesians chapter 1, in his mercy, he's made a way in Christ. We looked at the psalmist who said, he is good because his mercy endureth. In his mercy, he provided a Savior. That's good. This is a reason to be thankful. He provided a Savior, Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We find in Christ hope. We find in Christ the mercy of God demonstrated. We find in Christ the demonstration of his goodness. He provided a way of salvation through Christ. Now he has judged, and the scriptures are robust with the indications. He has made a verdict. He has judged. All men stand guilty before him. All men are guilty before God. And in that judgment, he is accurate. His assessment is right. But in Christ, he has made a provision. In Christ, we find that there's redemption. In Christ, there is forgiveness. In Christ, we can be accepted where the decision, the verdict went against us. But in Christ, we can be brought nigh, Ephesians later. Paul says later to the Ephesians. These are things to be so thankful for. God is good. He's merciful. He provides love, mercy, and grace, and he demonstrates that through the giving of his Son. And in him we have redemption in him, and based on what Christ accomplished on the cross, the sinner has hope. Because God is good, he provided a way through Christ. Because God's mercy endureth, he provided a way in Christ that's still available today. Because God is good, we have a basis to be thankful. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That was the verdict of God. We're unjust. But he sent his only begotten Son. He sent Christ, who once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We have in Christ hope. We have in Christ the one that God has provided, his only begotten Son, a demonstration of his mercy, of his love, of his grace. And we have hope. We have a basis for thanksgiving. We have a basis for giving him thanks. He is good. And he said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. That's all on the basis of Christ. That's all afforded us in Christ. And all of that is based on a God who is good, and his mercy endureth. Based on a God who is the Most High. He has provided Christ to be the Savior of his people. And being the Most High, there's not somebody else that's going to come along and have a different plan. There's not going to be somebody else that comes along and thwarts this plan. He's provided salvation for his people through Christ. He is good. He's the Most High. He's the only God. He's holy. He's unique. Do you see a basis for thanksgiving? And it puts, we're talking eternity here. We're not talking, you know, warts. We're not talking broken bones and scraped fingers and knees. We're talking eternity here. And if he has provided for our eternity in Christ, everything else can come into perspective. Everything else can pale in comparison as the peace of God rules in our hearts. As the peace of God takes over in our lives and we say, God is sovereign. I don't understand what's going on, but I know God does. And I know he's good. And I know he's merciful. And I know he's the Most High. And I know that he's holy. And so he's got this. He's got all this under control. And not only that, he's provided for my very eternity in Christ. That's a solid reason, a solid basis, a logical reason and basis for thanksgiving. And one that'll put everything else into perspective. One that will give a peace that passes all understanding in the storms of life. One that will have a confidence in God in the circumstances we don't understand. One that will give us a confidence in God when we come to the end of our lives, if we know Christ as Savior and we're trusting him, we can be like the Lord himself. Father, I commit into thy hands my spirit. Or Stephen, I see the Lord. He's standing at the right hand of God. He's ready to welcome me in the glory. Not all twisted up by details. Not all churned up by situations. It's at peace with God. And thankful for who God is. And I submit to you that that thankfulness has a sound biblical basis. It's not pie in the sky hopes and dreams. It's real truth from the Word of God. Can you trust Christ this morning? We've seen through the course of the message that his judgments are righteous, but he does judge. And outside of Christ, he finds men and women unacceptable and wanting, unable to stand in his presence. But in Christ, based on Christ's finished work on the cross. In Christ. Ephesians, Paul writes, accepted in the Beloved. Can you trust Christ this morning? Realizing that not obeying His command to come, not obeying His command to believe on Him, will result in the righteous judgment of God. And we read of that in Matthew 7. Depart, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Which will it be for you? Let's stand. Thank you.